I would like to wish everyone a very warm welcome and a good afternoon. This is a press conference to mark the end of the seventh visit of the Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights in Cambodia, Professor Rona Smith. This will begin with a presentation from the Special Rapporteur and will be followed by questions and answers from anyone in the press corps. I would ask you please to introduce yourself before you ask a question. I would also make a request that you keep flash photography to a minimum for health reasons for the Special Rapporteur. So on that note, I pass over to the Special Rapporteur to make a presentation.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I have now completed my seventh mission in my capacity as the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights in Cambodia. I would like to thank the government for its invitation to visit and for the willingness of so many state officials to meet with me and discuss openly human rights and sustainable development in Cambodia. I would also like to record my appreciation of the dedication and hard work of all the staff of the Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights, both here in Cambodia and in Geneva, who have so ably organised and supported this mission. During this mission, I have had the privilege of meeting with a number of senior officials, and I am pleased that so many government ministers took the opportunity to share with me information on progress since my last visit and updates on my previous recommendations. I also met with a wide range of relevant stakeholders, including representatives of civil society, members of the diplomatic community, and the UN country team. In addition, I met with a number of groups and people who submitted petitions or requested meetings with me. Most of these petitions concerned land rights, others related to freedom of expression and assembly. For this mission, I continued my focus on the UN Sustainable Development Goals. An important development since my last mission has been the adoption of the localization plan for the Sustainable Development Goals in Cambodia. I have carefully reviewed this document and I note the linkages to the government's rectangular strategy phase 4 and the forthcoming National Strategic Development Plan. Human rights anchor the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the Sustainable Development Goals. And they should similarly anchor the Cambodian Sustainable Development Goals. There are many aspects of the localization plan that reflect a wide range of civil, cultural, economic, political, and social rights. However, some important rights aspects of the Sustainable Development Goals do not appear in the localization plan. Significantly, the plan radically reduces the targets and indicators on peace, justice, and strong institutions, which is goal number 16. Sorry, can I ask please that you don't use the flash because I can't see to read. Sorry. Please, no flash. Oh, I could ask. Let me in. Okay. So, avoiding and reducing the focus on SDG 16 reduces Cambodia's ambition to achieve access to justice for all, ending violence, particularly against women and children, combating corruption, strengthening the rule of law, ensuring participatory decision-making, ensuring access to information, and protecting fundamental freedoms, enforcing non-discriminatory laws, and building strong national institutions. Human rights are essential to ensuring peace and development. As I have stated before, peace without justice is unsustainable. Development without freedom leaves people behind. I was encouraged in my meetings by the willingness of government ministries to open the localisation plan and include more human rights-related targets and indicators. And I would welcome the inclusion of these and more ambitious targets in the localisation plan. And I would encourage deeper engagement with the Ministry of Justice, the Anti-Corruption Unit, and the Ministry of Land Management, Urban Planning and Construction to ensure that key policies of those entities are captured in the Sustainable Development Goals localisation. Looking now at the rules of non-discrimination and equality, and the overarching idea of ensuring that no one is left behind. It is important to ensure identification of those at risk of being left behind and to note that those at risk of being left behind includes but must go beyond the poor and the near poor. The census undertaken in March, and the provisional report is due for release in June. I trust that this will provide further data which could help identify with greater clarity those at risk of being left behind. And I encourage the government to identify comprehensively who may be at risk of being left behind, and then to develop targeted Cambodian Sustainable Development Goal programmes to ensure their inclusion in development efforts. Given the government's anti-drug campaign, I have focused in particular on the situation of drug and substance users with dependency issues. I have sought to gain a deeper understanding of the treatments offered in Cambodia. I visited Manche District Referral Hospital and Orcas Khnom Drug Rehabilitation Centre, and I met with the Minister of Health, the Minister of Social Affairs, Veterans and Youth Rehabilitation, and the Secretary General of the National Authority for Combating Drugs. I learned of the methadone treatment service available for opiate users, something which is only available in 3 hospitals in the country. I also learned more of the scale of the use of amphetamine-type stimulants and the government's prioritisation of community-based treatment. I note that that's not fully reflected yet in the Sustainable Development Goals for Cambodia. I welcome the emphasis on reintegrating the person into their community, and it's very important that affected persons are provided with vocational training opportunities and there is no discrimination against them when they seek reintegration, including in the workplace. I am, however, concerned with the ongoing reliance on closed drug rehabilitation centres such as Orcus Conom, where persons are usually admitted with the consent of their family and, crucially, are only released if both their own consent and that of their family is secured. Whilst I do understand the importance of completing rehabilitation programmes, this raises a concern that people in those centres are there involuntarily, and that requires appropriate authorisation and oversight. Human rights principles on drug treatment demand voluntary, evidence-based treatment in the community rather than compulsory treatment in closed settings. I was pleased to be able to drop in unannounced to the Phnom Penh Social Affairs Transit Centre, also known as Praise View. I call on the authorities to protect against any arbitrary detention in the centre and to implement the agreed recommendations of the 2015 National Conference on the Situation of Persons in Street Situations and to work closely with the UN country team and relevant civil society organisations in this regard. I also undertook a follow-up field trip to Kampong Chhnang, revisiting people from floating communities whom the provincial government has been relocating to land. These villagers are Khmer, Khmer Islam, and ethnic Vietnamese. They are poor and also at risk of being left behind. Many are living on temporary, though some in permanent, relocation sites. Any relocation site must have water, sanitation, electricity, transport infrastructure, and offer access to an appropriate livelihood to support an adequate standard of living. I was deeply concerned that the level of solid and plastic waste, as well as non-secured wastewater at temporary relocation sites, especially Chnok Tru, will lead to serious pollution when the water rises imminently and will have a negative impact on the right to health. I am also concerned that many of the relocated houses at the temporary sites, and even some at permanent relocation sites, are currently below the high water line and may no longer be able to float when the water inundates the land. I am reassured that the provincial authorities have agreed not to relocate any more communities to permanent relocation sites until the proper infrastructure is in place. Finally, I have also considered persons with uncertain land title or who have been evicted from their land. These are also at risk of being left behind. I welcome the advances in land titling and in resolving land disputes. But I call on the government to ensure that the process for resolving disputes is transparent, and in particular that holistic decisions are taken to ensure the appropriate resolution of the disputes. Turning now to participation. The SDGs encourage meaningful participation at several levels. The Sustainable Development Goal 17 highlights the importance of partnerships, including with civil society, in SDG implementation. SDG 16 highlights responsive, inclusive, participatory and representative decision-making at all levels. I am encouraged by some of the positive steps that have taken place since my last mission in November. These include the start of a process to amend the trade union laws and a repeated openness to review the law on associations and non-governmental organisations, the holding of a second national partnership forum with civil society organisations in January, and the clear instruction to provincial authorities to organise similar consultations within their jurisdiction. I acknowledge as well that overall, the instructions of October and November last year repealing the 3-day advance notification appear to be implemented. However, I regret that not all associations and non-governmental organisations are enjoying the full freedom and rights to operate their activities in the Kingdom of Cambodia without obstruction in accordance with the applicable laws, as was promised by the Minister of Interior. I encourage organisations facing such challenges to use the mechanism established by government and systematically report these incidents for information and corrective action. I have also asked the Minister of Interior to reinforce his message on an enabling environment with the authorities at the subnational level. I have been particularly attentive to the general narrative on human rights and human rights advocacy. In that respect, I regret that working and advocating for the promotion and protection of human rights continues to be equated with being part of or supporting the political opposition. In all countries, human rights may be politically sensitive, and political and civil rights are by essence related to the political space. However, the language of human rights should be seen as the language of everyone, both government and the people. And while the protection and promotion of human rights is a shared responsibility, it is legitimate that civil society holds governments, the main duty bearer, to account for their actions and policies. I therefore hope that the future civil society forums will allow for the building of trust, respect and dialogue between government and all civil society stakeholders, including those who are active in advocacy. In the same spirit, I reiterate my encouragement to the government, in particular at the subnational level, to strengthen respect for freedom of peaceful assembly. I acknowledge that gatherings pertaining to land cases, in particular of communities coming to Phnom Penh to petition relevant authorities, have been allowed to take place. However, I note that permission for marches on Human Rights Day, International Women's Day, and International Labour Day were refused on the grounds of the potential disruption to traffic. I recall the implementation guide to the law on peaceful demonstrations, which indicates that disruption to traffic is not normally a ground to refuse a request to march. On a related issue, I call on the government to avoid the excessive use of force in the policing of assemblies. And I welcome the reminder by the Minister of Interior that soldiers should not be used to police demonstrations and protests. And I urge the government to ensure that inappropriate behaviour and practice are adequately investigated, sanctioned and prevented. Meaningful participation in governance and development also includes the right to take part in the conduct of public affairs directly or through freely chosen representatives. On that front, I had welcomed last November the royal pardon and release of opposition figures, and I had called for the release of His Excellency Kem Sokha from restricted detention and the swift conclusion of the investigation in his case. I note the amendment passed to the law and political parties last December, allowing for individuals previously banned from political activities by the Supreme Court to request the restoration of their rights by the King following a request of the Prime Minister. However, since my last mission, I see few tangible improvements in the enjoyment of political rights. I remain concerned that pressure on former members of the dissolved Cambodian National Rescue Party continue unabated. At least 6 convictions have been pronounced by Cambodian courts since my last mission against various former members and supporters of the party. I am also aware of actions taken by the police or the courts against some 80 former members and elected officials of the CNRP at the sub-national level, including over 25 summons issued in Battambang over the last few days. Such actions, in my view, are not conducive to strengthening political rights and democratic space as envisaged in the December statement of the government. I am conscious of the frequently aggressive rhetoric from both sides and believe there is a need to change the political culture to one that focuses on issues rather than persons. This, together with judicial protection of freedom of expression, would help overcome the challenges of the current political situation for the benefit of all Cambodians. I also call on the government to review the law on political parties and the various electoral laws to bring them into line with the international standards that Cambodia has ratified. Turning now to accountability. The Sustainable Development Goals and Human Rights Standards require accountability in the form of promoting transparency and integrity in government decision making, providing information, budgeting, combating bribery and corruption, and ensuring equal access to justice for all. I was pleased to learn from the Ministry of Justice that all courts now prominently display the permissible fees for services. I encourage the Ministry to keep these displays updated and in prominent view. I am also pleased that the one-stop service windows, which the Ministry of Interior explained to me last year, include publicly displayed notices of all fees which can be charged for services at the sub-national level. However, much more attention is needed to combating corruption in Cambodia, as has been recognised by the government's rectangular strategy, Phase 4. Judicial institutions are particularly key, and I encourage the Ministry of Justice to examine in detail the issues of judicial integrity and corruption in the judicial sector. Effective accountability also requires effective access to justice. Once again, I call for the speedy adoption of the legal aid policy. I also encourage a coordinated implementation of the various legal assistance funds to ensure support for those who need it most. The Ministry of Justice also updated me on plans for expansion of judicial service centres and the construction of regional appeal courts. I expect these initiatives will help ensure justice is more accessible to all Cambodians. I remain concerned at the prevalence of pre-trial detention in Cambodia. While I welcome the indication of the Ministry of Justice to explore alternatives to custodial sentences, I urge the Ministry to encourage judges to use pre-trial detention only when absolutely necessary in accordance with Cambodian law. With over half of the prison population detained on drug-related charges and convictions, and the Cambodian prisons severely overcrowded, it is more than ever essential to ensure that detention is the last resort. Effective accountability also requires a strong and free press. On World Press Freedom Day, I reflected on the significant achievement of Cambodians with social media and on the importance of guaranteeing freedom of expression online and offline. The same freedoms and restrictions apply to both. I have also, however, observed the decline in sectors of media and the general reluctance amongst many people I have met to speak out in public for fear of arrest or surveillance. And I take this opportunity to call on the government to increase the space for a free press, including space for independent journalists to operate. To conclude, overall, a clearer articulation of human rights in the government's strategic development framework and practical actions will help support the country's rapid development and ensure it is inclusive, peaceful, and just, leaving no one behind. This would help all Cambodians, including those at risk of being left behind, and support the country's aspiration to be an oasis of peace based on democratic principles, human rights, focused on progress, development, and prosperity. Such an inclusive development is both a process and an outcome. A new political culture focusing on issues, openness to different opinions and free expression of ideas would go a long way towards ensuring a shared future that benefits all Cambodians. As Special Rapporteur, I remain committed to listen to all stakeholders in an impartial manner and support inclusive dialogue as I continue to monitor and advocate for the enjoyment of all human rights by everyone in Cambodia. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Smith. I will now open the floor for any questions.